being able to give ourselves permission to feel good this month is important to have in our cells, in our bodies, in our wiring, because it has been an intense 6 months and year and 2 years, and the end of this year is going to be intense. So this is when we really have to do the work of like, what do I need to feel good now that is actually serving me long term? And it's like a supplement, you know, that you can take every day. Little things, how can I feel good today? How can I choose over and over and over? And that is what's going to carry us through together and to help us find each other. Hello, friends. Welcome back. My name's Octavia. Thank you so much for being here. Today, I'm going to talk about the astrology, current and upcoming, that we may be experiencing here on planet Earth and how to utilize these influences in our lives. So it's great to be with you. I want to start by talking about our good friend Mars in Gemini. So Mars as a planet can represent all outgoing activity. It's kind of like working overtime for like 2 weeks straight. Mars has been quite in the spotlight in Gemini, and it's been a noticeable shift since Mars has entered there as of August 20th. So thankfully we've moved out of all of the really tense, tight, fixed sign, T-square, and grand cross sort of gridlock that accompanied much of the second half of July and August. And so with the mutable signs, Gemini, Virgo, Pisces, and Sag, we are feeling that loosen up a bit for us in the day-to-day. So I'm going to talk a bit more about what that means. Of course, we've got Mercury stationing retrograde on Friday, September 9th. And then the following day, we have the full moon in Pisces. So lots of mutable stuff happening. Mercury is, however, in Libra, a cardinal sign. But Mercury will backpedal into Virgo later this month. So I'm excited to dive into all of this with you. I'm also going to talk about how this relates to what's happening with inflation and a little bit of a historical glimpse into how we got here with inflation and how that relates to the astrology. More broadly, from now until the end of the year, we are wrapping things up. There are so many planets now, the outer planets in late degrees. Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, Saturn. Uranus is a little bit earlier in, but still more than halfway. So as of early 2023, Saturn's going to go into Pisces, Pluto's going to go into Aquarius, and Mars will have finally changed signs from Gemini into Cancer. So as of March of 2023, everything is going to be different, very different than it is now. And from now until the end of the year, this is a good time to wrap up any loose ends that are dangling around and getting in the way and preventing us from doing whatever we feel ready to do. Because the astrology is assisting us now with preparing to do that. And this is a process that we don't have to rush it. We can actually just, because we've got Mercury going retrograde end of October, we'll also have Mars going retrograde. And so, and as I said, you know, it's like working double overtime shifts, Mars and Gemini, stations retrograde. It's like, okay, I need a day off. I actually need another day off. I actually just need to be working like less hours. You know, that's Mars retrograde. It's like, hang on. I need to, you know, get off of message boards, get off of social media and stop posting so much because it's just pulling me into this, whatever it may be, whatever outgoing activity is getting excessive to the point of interfering, and with other parts of life that are valuable and meaningful where you want to put your energy. This is what Mars in retrograde is going to be helpful in looking at and recalibrating. I had a really funny experience the other day. I went to a I used to do rock climbing, indoor rock climbing, and I wanted to try out bouldering nearby where I'm staying, and I went to a class, and it was so funny. The guy, the teacher, he's this college student, and he was telling me, it was just he and I, no one else showed up to the group. But he kept saying these really profound things about, bouldering that actually apply to life. And he kept saying, "You're really good at supporting yourself where you are, but you're not thinking about supporting yourself where you're going." And I was like laughing, like hanging up on this wall, like giggling, being like, "I have to come down. It's just too good, you know?" And that's what a lot of this is about. I mean, we've gotten really good at like managing how to support ourselves where we are. And we're used to that. And we, as humans, we like to get used to doing things in a certain way, so that we can stay safe and comfortable and all that stuff. But there is so much changing, especially with these outer planets getting ready to change signs. Everything's going to be quite different. So, changing that mentality from, okay, this is how I can really support myself right here, right now, to, okay, well, what about, like, can I envision myself? Where does my hand want to go? Where does my foot, where will my foot rest? Where will I be able to lean into things and pull back on things? This is the bouldering analogy still, but and a lot of, he continued to say, just imagine yourself doing it before you do it. And I think this is a really great practice in life to imagine ourselves where we want to go before we take those steps, because we can't really find what we're seeking in life until we feel it, until we embody it, until we can see it. And once it's within us and we understand on that level what we want and where we're heading, then we can connect to it externally much more easily. Leading up to this full moon, as we're in Virgo season, and Virgo is the earth sign that is about refining and specifying, critiquing and improving, it can get very heady. Yeah, we've got Mars is in an air sign. We've got Sun, and soon we will have Venus in Virgo as of September 5th. And we've got Saturn in Aquarius. So we've got a lot of air happening and earth that could be keeping us very locked into our material reality, into our mind. And the beautiful thing about leading into this full moon in Pisces is that it's this back-to-back transition of Mercury stationing retrograde, and then the moon in full moon in Pisces happens the following day on the 10th. So that'll be the Friday and Saturday, 9th and 10th. And I think that this will feel really nice after all of the nitty-gritty cerebral sort of assessing that we've all been doing, which has its place, of course. There's nothing wrong with that sort of stuff. It's just going to give us a chance to pull back from the minutiae and to make it less personal, to make it less specific, to make it less, there's a certain amount of, like, the more honed into the nuances one gets over a period of time, the harder it is to see the big picture, right? It's just, it can become debilitating if we don't have that distance to be able to give us a different perspective of whatever it is. I mean, This is true in art, in music, in writing. You zoom out and you produce something, you create something. Mars, this is Mars in Gemini. You crank out some writing or some work or whatever it may be, and then you step away. They've actually done studies too that have identified this part of our intelligence that is specifically only activated, and it's highly intelligent, highly refined evolutionary part of us that synthesizes everything in the background once we move away from it. And so this is why it's really hard to cram for an exam or a test right before, because if we don't have that space in between what we're taking in and what we're creating, if we don't have that time to integrate that information or that process, then it's very difficult for it to successfully be executed. So I think that's an important thing to remember, because things will get a bit murky and confusing towards the middle of September. And it's good to remember that that's okay, to let go of needing to know when it feels elusive. This is, Neptune's medicine. And this full moon will be in range of Neptune and Pisces in the couple days following it, when the moon's in final degrees of Pisces. It will also feel a bit, like what's going on? What was I doing? And that's okay, because again, we don't need to be working double shifts for days on end. We can actually pull back and watch a movie or go for a walk or enjoy some music or whatever it may be. And also, this is a great month for connecting with other people. Mercury opposing Jupiter is this, like I said, this transit that's going to be happening the first time on the 2nd of September. Mercury stationing retrograde on the 9th, so it will back into it again on the 18th, on Saturday, and then I believe that's it. Yeah, so the Sun will also oppose Jupiter on the 26th. So I think that because we've got this Libra Aries opposition, the way that I've been understanding this transit is that we can't fully expand into what we want without considering how to make it work together. There are so many things ideas and visions we may have, but ultimately, nothing significant is created in isolation. The magic happens when we integrate it with and share it with other people. And this is what the new paradigm is all about. This is what Pluto in Aquarius is all about in its higher octave. This is what Saturn in Pisces is all about. It's about understanding how we can work together with our ideas, with our visions of the future, and with what we know is ready to come through by sharing it. And this is a great month to do that. A lot of folks have had big shifts in their life and they don't necessarily feel connected in the same way to who they've been connected with, the whatever it is, the groups of friends, the colleagues at work, whatever it may be. So if you're listening to this and you feel alone, like you've experienced a loss in connection with the people that you've been close with up to this point, just know that that's normal and that actually everyone's going through that on some level that's committed to evolving. And maybe even some who aren't. I mean, there's just such a big shakeup happening because of the changes in place. And this is the month before eclipse season, before we go back into the fixed sign, traffic jam, of being able to open up a little, loosen up a little, and to feel into a new way of connecting. And this is where Mercury retrograde can actually be wonderful. And I know that may sound paradoxical, but Mercury retrograde is about retrieving something that's been lost. It's about going back and saying, questioning, especially we've got Mercury in Libra, then Virgo. It's about saying, how can I make this work? Like, how can I make this more peaceful and more pleasant and beautiful and harmonious? I mean, especially coming out of all the fixed sign tension that we've been in, it'll be obvious. And if it isn't, you can take a little bit of a leap of faith here. Mercury opposing Jupiter, it's like what you want may feel at odds with how to get that across, how to make connections around that, and that's a good thing. That's the piece that is worth getting curious about, and saying, okay, because these are cardinal signs, they are initiators, Libra and Aries. It's like, okay, what can I do that's new? I mean, even though Mercury's retrograde, so is the other one, Jupiter. It's about reevaluating, right? And starting something new with that in your relationships, in our relationships. So, in Mercury retrograde, what they, signing a new lease perhaps or a new contract, that's the kind of stuff that is less supported. But again, like if you sign something during Mercury retrograde, it'll probably just get renegotiated. It might not even be that big a deal. It's just good to trust what's coming in and what's alive for you, and also what's dead to you, what is draining and sucking and heavy. That stuff can also have some inquiry around it. So especially with a full moon in Pisces, I think being able to give ourselves permission to feel good this month is important to have in our cells, in our bodies, in our wiring, because it has been an intense 6 months and year and 2 years, and the end of this year is going to be intense. So this is when we really have to do the work of like, what do I need to feel good now that is actually serving me long term? And it's like a supplement, that you can take every day. Little things. How can I feel good today? How can I choose over and over and over? And that is what's going to carry us through together and to help us find each other. There's a lot of connectivity and reception right now amongst the planets. Now, when we had everything in fixed signs, it was much harder to make sense of one thing and then another. It was much harder to have things synergize and move together. And this is going to be, once we get into eclipse season at the end of October and November, things are going to really lock up again in that way, similarly, that we've experienced as of mid-July, August. And also because Saturn is in a square, that square to Uranus that it was exact 3 different times in 2021, that's connected to supply line, that's connected to shortages and COVID lockdowns and vaccines, all that stuff, and things really getting in that gridlock state. We're going to experience that again at the end of this year. Saturn and Uranus are already within 2 degrees of that square. So we'd be feeling a lot of those previous themes coming back up. Now, the good news is this is the last time that that's going to come back around. And in the US right now, I think that the inflation issues that we're having have a lot to do with this way too much of this outgoing activity that the Fed has produced. 1955 was when the first credit card was introduced. And the reason that we have inflation is this reliance on debit and credit. Now, it didn't exist before the two world wars. It was actually debit and credit, and financing things based on credit was a big part of what financed World War I and II. And then the debt that was created from that has a lot to do with what happened subsequently, and also why there was a period of time where debt was really useful and supportive of everyone in the economy and to everyone thriving here, being able to finance a home at a time when wages were up and there were much more equalized for everyone. And all of that has changed now, but the belief in it hasn't. And this is something I stumbled across in a fantastic book of several different essays. It's called The Psychology of Money. And it's a really amazing read. I highly recommend it. And what has happened, though, is that in the US, there is this disenchantment now with the American dream. And this is very much Mars in Gemini squaring, Mars return squaring Neptune in the fourth and 10th house of home, family, foundations, and of career. So this is like all this outgoing activity that Americans have put into things, all this money, all this credit, is now becoming a problem because Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve has just announced that there's going to be a lot of pain because interest rates are going to stay high, which means if you have debt and if you're an American, you probably have debt because it's impossible to exist here and have a good credit score, which means if you don't have a good credit score, you can't buy things, you can't do things, you can't rent cars. There's a lot of, it's a Faustian deal here. And I've had to jump through these hoops in returning here after being away for 6 years. And what ends up happening is you have to accrue debt so your credit score can go up so that you can then get loans for other things and your credit score can remain at a certain point, at a certain level, so that you can continue to do things that you want to do, even renting a place. It's really locked into everything now. So if you do all these things and as a good citizen, as you're expected to do, to be able to have the freedoms here in the US, then you likely accrue debt. And the unfortunate thing that's happening now, according to Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve, is that the interest rates have been raised and they are going to continue to stay there. And they're essentially creating a recession because of inflation. Now, again, why is inflation there? Because there's an over-reliance on debit and credit. And who does this impact, right? Who, just consider for a moment who the consequences of this system land on. The consumers, of course, because now whatever that debt is that people are paying off, now the interest rates are going higher. Inflation is high, so people can't afford the debt to pay it off. People can't afford to pay the interest on the debt because it's gone up. They also can't afford to pay it off because everything's expensive, groceries and so forth. So what do people have to do? File for bankruptcy. And so this is where it's so interesting that we are readdressing these things in the US now in terms of money, because again, we can't fully expand into what we want without considering how to make it work for everyone. And right now, it's not working for, another book I wanted to reference here, Skin in the Game by Nassim Taleb. He talks about how the people in power, it's a problem that there are no consequences on them. They have no skin in the game for the decisions that they are making. He talks about policyholders who go into other countries, starting, creating, and generating war for the sake of virtue signaling. But they never see those consequences firsthand. And unfortunately, a lot of the folks in power are getting further and further removed from the consequences of their actions. And so this is where we have to look at these things and on a personal level and to decide what we want to create with our lives. Now that we can see what isn't working, we can see where the system isn't really giving us what it's saying it's giving us. And this is the other thing that in The Psychology of Money, he talks about the Trump era, with Trump supporters, what we have to realize is that in the last 35 years, because of the changes that have occurred around what's possible economically in terms of buying, loaning, and spending and earning, because it was so good after World War II and two generations ago, it felt really good to be able to instill that reality of the American dream. And the reason that that belief has held on is because it felt good to know collectively that that was possible. Again, this is from the psychology of money. I'm paraphrasing here, but my take on this, after reading it and from an astrological point of view, is that because this was a belief, a reality that felt so good, this is why it has this longevity. And now we have to recreate what feels good now based on this current reality. And the difference is that people, the Trump supporters, to look at them and say, because a lot of people collectively are waking up to the fact that a lot of things are not as they were told they would be. And I think that's true for everyone, regardless of your affiliation, that there's a lot of disappointment and there's a lot of anger about that. If you add in social media, Facebook, algorithms that profit off of outrage. So if you add that to the mix, you get a lot of folks who are fed up with how it's been, or rather how it's turned out for them. And they are willing to go there. It's a very fuck it kind of stance. It's like, I want anything other than this. And that's what Trump is the manifestation of. And it's important for us to remember that because he is very locked into the American dream. I mean, he is a manifestation of what the systems here support or have supported in the past. Now, what we do have to be mindful of in a moment like this is that the future does not necessarily have to be defined by the past. We can look at the past, see it as it is, right? And this is a very key thing to stay conscious of during these retrograde cycles because we do have a lens toward the past, retrograde, of course, with Mars and Mercury. But it needs to be a little bit objective. And thankfully, we have, signs like Gemini, air signs, Libra, even Virgo are good at maintaining some objectivity. Because we don't want to get too wrapped up in, it's good to feel things. It's good to let the bigger picture, the bigger kind of spiritual truth of whatever's coming in for you, like allow that to happen, the full moon in Pisces. But also recognizing that this is a turning point. It's not about fixing the old. We really can't focus on fixing the old anymore because it can't be like it was. Like it was, the way that it was, is done. And the more that we can let go of trying to make it right, the more we can see the future, we can see what's possible. And this is Mercury opposing Jupiter. And then later this month, we're going to have the new moon in Libra. Mercury's going to conjoin Venus and trine Pluto. This is really substantiating astrology. So we can look at what will work now. And it's very easy to be frustrated with the systems in place. I'm sure you can hear it in me and recognize it in me in this transmission. And there's a place for that, sure. But as long as we're not letting it govern the way in which we decide to create our reality now. We can inform ourselves and feel into the loss that it's created, the disappointment, the frustration. Sure. There's no reason to ignore those feelings. But the consciousness makes the difference. And the astrology this month is really supporting us in doing that and to being able to find new ways to connect and grow together that will be sustainable long term. Thanks again, guys, for being here and for staying to the end. And I will be tuning in with you later this month. If you have any questions for me, feel free to give me a shout on social media. You can find me on Instagram, _OctaviaCarney. And until next time, stay safe, well, and wise.